Good evening, welcome everyone to Manasquan School District's Board of Education regular Board of Education meeting for July 18th, 2017. Call to order opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting's been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me now for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call Sandy, please.
Mrs. Passone. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
He was.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Here.
Mr. Hobiter. Mr. Lofredo. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren. We have a quorum.
Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Before our statement to the public, I would just like to bring everybody up to speed. I realize many of you are here in reference to the appointment and hiring of the band director and music teacher. I would like to explain to everyone the process the board went through in relation to the hiring of our new band director and music teacher, which occurred late last week and will be approved by the board this evening. At the May meeting of the board, the superintendent had a candidate he recommended to be hired for the band music position. This candidate was the top candidate after an interview process done by the administration and Dr. Cajun. During the public comment portions of that meeting, many students and some band parents voiced their displeasure with the process and advocated for the board to refrain from hiring a candidate without taking another look at the process and looking into the concerns that were shared that evening. The board chose to vote no on the candidate that night in order to take another look at the process and make sure we were in a position to hire the best candidate for the district. Shortly after that meeting, the board put together an ad hoc personnel committee to interview and recommend a candidate to the superintendent, who would then interview the candidate and determine if that was the person he wanted to hire for the position. The committee was made up of the superintendent, the human resources director, the high school principal, the vice principal, who was the supervisor of music, the supervisor of humanities, the director of curriculum, and the business administrator, along with three board members. The process that evening was to interview five candidates that were chosen by the committee. There were three candidates that were being re-interviewed after being interviewed in the prior round of interviews, and two new candidates that emerged when the board reposted for a seven-day period. Each interview lasted about an hour and gave the candidate an opportunity to answer questions posed by the committee, as well as reviewing a taped piece of their experience directing a marching band, and then finished with the candidates demonstrating their proficiency with the musical instrument of their choice. The candidate that emerged was a unanimous selection of the committee, and after his interview with Dr. Cajun, was hired and accepted the position. The board would like everyone, students, parents, and the community at large, to know we listened to your concerns, we took a step back, and we took the time necessary to make the best choice for the district. This was a unique situation, and because we conducted the process differently, doesn't mean it wasn't done properly the first time. We as a board just felt it was important to take another look at what we were doing and make sure that we were all comfortable with the process and the end result. That being said, our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience, the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. The superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to present it to the Board of Education. It is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented by the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and the closed executive session of June 13, 2017. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mrs. McGarry, any questions on the minutes? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry. Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
We will not have a student board representative report tonight because we do not have student board representatives yet. That brings us to our presentations, and I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Can we go to the podium, please?
Sure.
Thank you. When I first came to Manitowoc, I was very proud of the fact that the board acknowledged the importance of students by actually placing them at the board table to report on what was happening in the school environment. In every meeting, those students who were chosen to take their time to come to the board and update us on what was happening. I want to take this moment to thank all four of our representatives who took time out of their day, sometimes coming in their uniforms straight from a game, to update the board on what they felt was important for them to know and the public as well. I was very proud of them. They represented us so well, and all four will be missed. And tonight, I'd like to give them a certificate of appreciation along with their nameplate that appears in front. They can take it, put a nail through it, put it on the new door in your dorm room, and look at it and remember me fondly. I truly appreciate it. On a serious note, I want to thank the parents, because without you, they wouldn't be who they are. They truly are wonderful. Thank you for sharing them with us. I don't see Madison with us this evening, but Dad's here. Thank you for that. I didn't see Madison. I don't know her dad. Now I do. Madison Dettinger, grade 12, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read their GPA and also their class rank because it truly is so impressive. Impressive because Madison is full of aspiring students who all reach that bar of excellence. So when you look at how some of our students even rise above that, it is truly impressive. And all four of our representatives are examples. Be proud.
All right.
Madison Dettinger, her GPA was a 95, and she ranked 60th in her class. Dad, congratulations. Thank you for sharing. Can you come forward and see that? What was her school of choice?
Auburn.
And she's going to Auburn University.
Nice.
And 4 years, smile.
And then Ryan will be going to college.
Well, then maybe 8.
6 years.
Christopher Driscoll is next. Before I call him up, I just want to thank him for always demonstrating how important it was to be here. You always showed up with a professional air, and I appreciate that. And you showed up very serious because you know the serious business that we were being focused on. I want you to know that I saw that and I felt that. Because when I show up, I always show up professionally and knowing that it's serious business. Mom, thank you for that, but I know you learned this from Dad. Because every day you show up to work that way, John, I appreciate that. So I'd like to thank Christopher Driscoll for being a representative with a 91 GPA ranking in the top 100 of our student body. Could you please come forward and give us a certificate of appreciation? admire her for everything she did for us. And that smile that you see on the screen was very representative of her. She always came with a very cheerful man. She did a great job for us. She had a 94 GPA and ranked 63rd in the student body. I'd appreciate you giving her a round of applause. Carly Grove is next. Carly, you're truly wonderful. And to see that, you thought that I was important enough to show up to our meetings, I think it's awesome. Because you had so many other things to do. And every time I turned around, you either had a microphone, you were involved in an activity, you were out there doing what our manager wants to do so well, being involved. Thank you. Carly's GPA was 100, and she ranked third in the student body. Mom and Dad, you proud? I said, no, I am, and I had nothing to do with it. Carly Grove. This evening. Now I'd like to introduce Rob Notley from New Road Construction to talk about where we are in our process with our building project.
Rob Young, you have a PowerPoint?
Yes.
HVAC controls. At the last board meeting, the phase three contract for the actual construction of the new HVAC controls and some mechanical repairs, $368,015 was awarded to Train. Train mobilized just yesterday on site. We've already had a kickoff teleconference with them, and we'll be conducting regular bi-weekly meetings with them beginning next Monday. school site improvements. This work is going to be done next summer. We'll be working with Edwards Engineers to finalize the scope of that work and get that bid awarded hopefully early in 2018 or maybe 2017. The work will begin next summer. Elementary school access controls, cameras, voice over IP phone systems. The voice over IP system is under construction. That's in place. We've been working with the contractor doing that work on a state contract basis. And also at the elementary school, window replacement and the replacement of the stair tower doors in the high school. SLS Construction is the contractor for that work. They have completed their shop drawings in the middle process. All of their windows, doors, and windows are fairly long lead items. So even though they've had the contract for a couple of months, they don't actually expect to receive windows, doors, and hardware on site until the middle of September. But that work will be completed by late October. High school renovations and additions. Plan tonight would have been to award a, or to recommend award of a contract. Bad news is, I don't have a contract recommendation to make. We have a budgetary estimate of $6.7 million for high school renovations and additions. We received bids from eight different bidders, which was a pretty good bid turnout. We actually had 14 plan holders, so there were six bidders that decided not to submit a bid. The low bid was approximately 6% over budget. So we have recommended to the board to take the action to reject those bids and authorize a rebid of the project using the bidding schedule that's up on the screen. Plans will be made available next Monday. Deadline for questions, middle of next week, and then by the end of next week. And those bids will be due on Wednesday, August the 9th. And hopefully the bidders will be able to sharpen their pencils and get us down to a number that is satisfactory. If they don't, we are not materially changing the scope of the project. The reason why we're not doing that is by bidding the same, essentially the same contract twice. The second round of bids also comes in over budget. By not changing it, by taking those bids twice, public bidding statutes allow us to then enter into the negotiation phase with any or all of the bidders. And we found that rather than trying to do a value engineering phase with contractors after the contract is awarded, we get more bang for the buck when contractors know that there are other contractors still in the game. So hopefully we don't have to get to that that negotiated bid phase, but if we do, we are in position to do so. Currently, phase one window replacement project has now been completed. Final payment application received from that contractor. We're just waiting on a couple of closeout documents from him in order to authorize his final payment. As I previously noted, we're working with Garrison Architects on the rebid documents for the high school additions and renovations, and we are conducting bi-weekly construction meetings with the contractors that are working on site, SLS for the doors and windows, rear security for the fire alarm system, and Train for the HVAC upgrades. And also Tricom, which was a separate contract that was awarded to relocate the fiber optic line, has been awarded a contract and they've been kind of prepared for that relocation. With that, if there's any questions from the board. Okay. No, I did not. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, as Ms. Coates said, the rebid process will not extend the ultimate end date of the high school renovations and additions project. We will still have that as a completion of December 2018.
Thanks, Rob.
call.
That ends our presentation portion of the meeting.
That brings us to our superintendent's report and information items. Dr. Cajun?
Starting off with our enrollment, our total enrollment, 1,574, high school, 945, elementary school, 629. Our fire drill reports, the high school, June 5th, we had a lockdown, June 12th, we had a fire drill, meeting both state mandates. The elementary school, June 6th, we had a lockdown, and June 12th, we had a fire drill. Regarding our harassment, intimidation, and bullying monthly report, at the high school, we had no harassment, intimidation, and bullying reports in the month. In the elementary school, we had two investigations. Both ended as code of conduct. They were not harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Tonight, I want to present the 2016-2017 Report Period 2, Harassment, Intimidation, and Bullying Information. Regarding statute, twice during the year, this has to be presented. It's focused on harassment, intimidation, bullying investigations, trainings, and program data collected from January 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2017. In that time, we met all state mandates. At the elementary school, we had one incident of violence, one incident of harassment, intimidation, and bullying. At the high school, we had three incidents of violence, one of vandalism, one of substance abuse, and two, harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Totals for the district, four violence, one vandalism, no weapons, one substance abuse, and three, harassment, intimidation, and bullying. This information is sent to the state, of course, the county, and then we receive a grade that's placed on the front of our webpage, as we do every year. Before I turn this over to my Director of Curriculum and Instruction, I'm asking the board tonight to afford us, my administrative team, an opportunity to research areas for the International Baccalaureate and also the development of personalized instruction in the elementary school. So at the August meeting, Mrs. Kerensky and I, or the building principals, can present answers to the questions that, excuse me, Barbara will pose this evening. But I would like to be formally approved to move forward with our research. I've mentioned this at the last meeting, and in September, I'd like to present to the board a three-year plan academically of how I envision the district moving forward with both my directors and my principals. But going there, I would like tonight for the approval to start to investigate the areas and come back to you with a focus on costs and exactly what this would mean. So if you would, Barbara, if you could just focus on that information.
Sure. With the International Baccalaureate, I did a little sheet for you because it is a pretty confusing process. On the front side, you see the overview of the authorization process. Before we can even start applying to be an international baccalaureate school, we need to go through an authorization process. I've already put in a request for information. That's the first step. And then we have to consider our school profile, which is all the way to the left on the chart. Do we have the resources, the interest, the teachers to be able to move forward with this? Then we make a request for candidacy, and we want to start with the middle school year's program first. The process is the same whether we're doing the high school or we're doing the middle school. And then the program itself makes a decision on our candidacy. They visit the school twice, they supply us with information, and they help us through this process. The authorization process itself can take, the minimum is a year. It usually should take 2 to 3 years to get the process through. If you look on the reverse side, I showed it a little bit differently. And if you move across the three columns, you can see that the professional development continues all the way through. The first step is that the head of a school or a designee would attend a workshop and then move through a coordinator of the program, speaking with the community, see if there's an interest and support. We look at our resources, and then our staff starts doing professional development. Then we apply for the candidacy. The costs here, above the blue line, the application for candidacy, it would be $4,000, whether it be middle school or high school. That's a one-time charge, but as you're going through the process, if it takes you 2 years, you have the fee for the two-year process or 3 years. Once you are authorized as an IB school, then below you'll see the payments for the annual fee and then assessment fees when they take the test. So this is really a projection of what the cost would be. They listed the fees for the coming school year. They don't have the fees moving forward in the future. But once I get more information from them through the application process, then I can report more information.
Barbara, for the sake of the people in the audience who don't understand what exactly, can you go over that? What it means that we became an IB?
Okay, so, the International Baccalaureate is very, in the high school you can get a diploma upon graduation. The coursework is very similar to advanced placement. The difference is that the international school has a much more global approach. It's the same level of instruction, but it's not so content specific as, you know, if you took an AP course, you would be taking it in English, composition, or literature, or science, or a particular math class. This is, you take courses within certain disciplines, but your project that you have to do, the assessment that you have to take, really expands a global perspective rather than just that content. And you see the courses intermingling. And students have to take particular courses in 6 or 7 different content areas that the program dictates.
So now, is this a program that would be in place of AP for students? Would some AP students focus to this as well? What is the benefit for the students in our district?
I think they could do both, because I think some of the courses would,
scheduling-wise,
you know, overlap what they take. The advantages, colleges look at this very, very favorably. They also do come out with a diploma from the program, and I think it would help them in any career that was international.
My goal is to develop a Manasquan model of instruction, and that Manasquan model of instruction will focus on academic excellence. That model I see developing a school where we have a campus focus and we have students given the opportunity with the new schedule to be able to take up to 160 credits, hopefully to be able to take at least 10 classes a year if they wanted to be able to afford them the opportunity to get involved in advanced placement, get involved in international baccalaureate, to get involved in a comprehensive high school where we're personalized and choice is what matters. So when they develop a transcript, the tier one schools will have to look at them, and with between international baccalaureate and advanced placement, the value added for parents would be to have classes that would be accepted by these schools, and therefore they wouldn't have to pay for them. So I think this is only a step on, I know this is only a step on our journey. And in September, I want to approach the board with the concept of what does the Manasquan model of instruction look like. And to do that, I could give you any vision I want, but if I don't have a staff and an administration that believes in that and is committed to that, we're not going to go anyplace. So the first step in that is what we're talking about tonight. The next step is going to be when we approach the board on the schedule changes that we'd like to see. So I would like to show everyone the whole picture after I sit down with my administrators and we discuss that at our meeting in July. Okay? Yes?
Frank, I'm not sure how to quantify the question, but if we took the high school, and I'll just deal with the high school for a second, if we took the high school and we sliced the high school into sections, right, the top section would be the advanced placement students, right? The middle section would be the students who are not advanced placement students, and the lower section would be the students. The students that struggle every day. Okay, just to give some perspective to this, which section are we talking about further?
I missed it. Which question?
So I think he's saying which section is baccalaureate going to be focused on? Sure. So yeah, this new program, which section student yeah. is
in,
it?
In my mind, when I look at the school, I look at it holistically, and I look at it where students are given the opportunity to go into any area eventually that they would choose. I don't have a higher end and a lower end. I have a comprehensive high school that's focused on meeting student needs. And meeting student needs individually, where we have a class structure where students, through proper guidance, can go to areas where they're going to be successful. Not every student is focused enough to be an AP student. Not every student is focused enough to go international baccalaureate. That doesn't mean that student shouldn't have an opportunity to meet their potential. Maybe the Public Service Academy is something that's going to bring them where they have to go. Maybe it's an elective that we've developed that is going to be recognized by the area that they want to go. Maybe they want to go to a culinary school in the county so they can have an education there. But my goal is to create something comprehensive for all students. I don't slice it up where elements.
I think what he's asking is IB, which slices that, right? Is that what
that's,
the question
but
is?
What stops a special education student from aspiring to go to advanced placement? I taught advanced placement history. I had special education students. The mantra was modify that curriculum so they can be successful, which we did. So I don't look at it like...
Not all special ed students struggle every day.
I'm sorry?
Not all special ed students struggle every day. Some are
right.
Gifted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the class is for everyone who aspires to be there.
I think it's lack of, for me anyway, for his lack of being versed in it. So I think Fred's question is, the question is the same as mine. Is there, I think what you're asking is that more of an advanced student, or is it about, like when you talk about international, like maybe someone's extremely talented in computer graphics, is there going to be a computer graphics portion of that 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 child could work on and it has an international feel? Is that what?
I'd like to see it grow, not only to that, but also to the arts. And that was one of the things that we spoke to the candidate about. International Baccalaureate and having a competition band is something that I would like to see in an orchestra. So we can only do so much because we have 1,000 students. We want to offer them choice within moderation, but allow them to have different avenues to investigate. And one of the things that we did by allowing students who don't have a grade point average indicative of them being an AP student, but allowing them to go into AP to see if they can be successful, I think was a step in the right direction. It's about participating and developing a classroom atmosphere where these students are going to be successful. I think it's all about focusing on methodologies, instruction, and affording teachers to develop with this personalized intent. So the whole concept is changing in regards to how we view instruction. So it's a step in that direction.
So IB can be subject specific, but if we have a major strength in the arts, if we have it in music, if we have it in theater, in computers.
And students will have the opportunity to take that class.
And they would not have to be in the program itself to take a class. The class has to follow a specific curriculum, and students who want the diploma, if we're talking about the high school, then they would have to sit for the test and all. But as far as access to the class, anyone can take the class, because you might not get 30 students, we don't know, who would want to go through the program. And the arts are one of the areas where they would take classes. So there's the arts, the sciences, the humanities. There's about 7 different areas.
Do they have to be all or nothing, or can they dive in and dive out?
I'd have to look at that.
Okay. Like if someone's extremely gifted in the arts, but that yet they're not.
I think they could get the diploma, but they could certainly take classes.
Okay. I think they can choose. But the thing is that we have to teach a curriculum to these students. Our teachers have to be trained in the international baccalaureate methodologies, and they need the professional development every summer. So it's a commitment that we're making to be better. And the one thing that keeps schools away from this commitment is it's a financial commitment that we're just going to have to write into the budget just the way we have our technology. And we, together, have to be committed to this, make it a priority to be successful. Because it might be for a handful of students, it might be for more than a handful of students, but I think it gives us a lot of value added and it makes us be the institution that I envision us being. Barbara?
Okay. And the other area we'd like to investigate is the personalized learning plan for students beginning in the elementary school. We would hopefully pick one grade level, one class, and try it. And what this is gearing instruction, finding the best approach for each student. What's the best way that they're going to learn, and at which pace? And so you're looking at more of a competency-based instruction where students would have to meet benchmarks, and then how they demonstrate their understanding and learning might vary based on a particular student. So they would have several pathways to show that they've mastered specific content or a specific skill. And each student would have a learning profile where their strengths and their weaknesses would be outlined. With the computer, the tablets that we have and one-to-one learning, the schools that have gone to this, the computers have made this type of learning accessible because students can work it on their own, they can watch videos that teachers create at home and then come in and demonstrate their learning in a different way with assistance. So there's a couple of schools in the area that are doing this, and we'd like to start by going out and looking at these schools and watching how they do this in the classroom.
And I'd like to investigate that so we can give you more of that and give you a picture of exactly how that would work and actually start it in the elementary school in a class or two.
What grades?
That's a great question. I was looking at 4th, 5th, and 6th. But again, it's something that I want to talk to my building principal about. I want to look at it. I don't want to rush into it. And if we say we might have to start it next year, we'll start it next year. But let's look at the concept first. I just need approval to investigate these areas.
I have a question.
The difference between doing this program and just having advanced AP classes is the acceptance or the recognition of that program?
Exactly. What happens with you in an international baccalaureate, you actually get a folder for your transcript that is an international baccalaureate. When it gets sent to a college, it's actually in a folder international baccalaureate on it. It's recognized by all the major institutions. And if you pass the test at the end of the semester, correct me at any time, Barbara, you then earn credits. And it's not uncommon for students who have gone through international baccalaureate for 4 years to have up to at least a year of college that they can waive or university. So it is prestigious when the students, and it's a debate which is more prestigious. And I don't really want to debate that, they both are. And the thing for me, it's value added for the student and the parent to take them where they want to go. If they want to be committed, they want to put the effort in, I want to provide them with that. But it's going to take us to look at getting instructors trained in that methodology.
They're also, with the international baccalaureate, the student has to complete more than the test, whereas the AP, there's a test.
Right.
They do have to do a community service project, which can be in collab. They could blend it for, they have to write a thesis, and then there are another four required, depending on which area they're going to specialize in. So there's more that the student that they have to do besides just the test.
Any other questions?
Will we have to hire teachers for this?
Part of the presentation I will give, we will be looking at a projection of teachers that we will need to be successful in these endeavors as we grow the AP classes, as we grow international baccalaureate. The answer to that question is yes. How many? I don't know. But as we move down the road, it's going to be a focus on instructors, because we don't, as we have our new academies and as we have our new classes, we don't have the expertise here to fill those needs for the students. And naturally, class sizes will go down as you have more offerings for them, which I think is all part of that campus model.
So does that mean that if a lot of students decide to do this, the classes that we have now, we may have to cancel them because there are not enough students in them? How will that work?
Well, there are certain core content classes that they have to take.
Right.
There's certain Carnegie units that they need. Mm-hmm. Those electives that are there and those academies that are there, if they aren't doing a wonderful job to attract students, then the answer is, as they dissipate, we'll have to do away with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that will be the case if you focus on the size of our school. And you look at my projection in my mind is 100 students per academy, allowing us students still for AP and international baccalaureate and other areas they want to go into. Having said that, if you open it up to 160 credits and you're going to have a schedule to afford students the opportunity for 5 classes a semester instead of 4, now you have the opportunity for students to really get involved in things that they're interested in if there's excellence of execution in the classroom. Teachers have to produce, and I think our staff does produce, but we're going to ask them to look at education in a different lens as we personalize it. But we're going to start in the elementary school and move to the high school. So it's going to take a few years.
Yeah.
Okay? If there's no questions, I now would like to look at the turn to Mr. Place for a report from the Director of Technology and Human Resources.
Just as Mr. Notley alluded to, we essentially have two major projects that we're dealing with this summer. One being the relocation of fiber optic cables from the elementary school and the Board of Ed building. We met with the vendor that was awarded that contract yesterday to start specking out that work. The main focus there, not that it's an extraordinary job, but during the time that work is being done, that means one or both of those buildings will essentially be offline. So we're doing our best to minimize that impact on staff during the summer. Other than that, the phone system and paging IP system is an ongoing project. We lit up some of our first phones yesterday also. So that's going to be ongoing for the rest of the summer. We're also looking at the possibility, we've been talking about it for a while, looking at the possibility of extending our network out to the new press box, and then from the press box to the alternative school building. So that would involve running fiber optic cable in some way. This is what we're kind of weighing the options of, either around the football field or down the side and under the football field or in a couple of different ways. So Dr. Cajun, me, Mr. Hudson, a couple other people spent some time out there today talking about that possibility. So I would hope to have an update for you on that by the August meeting. That's all for me.
Great, and if there's no objections, we're gonna move forward and research what I asked to research, and then when it comes time for a formal approval of finances being spent, we'll bring it to the board for a vote. Is there any objection to us moving forward and researching and then reporting back in August on what we found? So, okay, so Barbara, we're off and running, okay? All right, and that concludes my superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Palmer, second. Mr. Serino, any questions for the superintendent? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
That's you.
You're sorry?
Do you accept the superintendent's report?
Yes.
I was sweating, Jean.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarren.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to a public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time or recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer, give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to end or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Anyone from the public like to be heard on the agenda items? Seeing no one, that brings us to the Manasquan general items, numbers 11 through
20,
30. Sorry. Yes. Numbers 11 through 30. Does anyone need anything separated out, 11 through 30? Motion for items 11 through 30. Mr. Catani, second. Mrs. De Palma, any questions? Ms. Mule?
Have we been successful in bringing any of our out-of-placement students? And we are focusing on that, evaluating whether the out-of-placement students...
Have we had any success in bringing back any of our out-of-district placements?
I thought we did, Lynn. Yes. Could you just specify? We have had some success in bringing our out-of-district...
Okay, I know that was a focus last year.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. Last year, and I believe it was at least two students from Manasquan, and I believe
we have to use the microphone. Nobody can hear you.
Yes, it was last year, and from memory, I believe it was two Manasquan students, and one, I believe, from Ascending District.
Ascending districts don't impact us, though, right?
What Ascending districts?
Ascending districts don't impact us financially out, but when we get them in, we
correct. Correct.
Okay.
Andy.
Okay. Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Yes. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Carried.
We're going to let us start our discussion.
That brings us to the Manasquan Sending District items. Numbers 31 through 49. Does anyone need anything separated out? 31 through 49. Do we have a motion for 31 through 49?
Yes.
Mr. Fury? Second. Mrs. Muley? Any questions on any of those items? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Number 37, abstain from Eric Ertl. Number 44, abstain from James Frieda. 46, right? Abstain Richard Reed. Yes, everything else.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Harry?
That brings us to old or new business. Does anyone have any old or new business that they would like to bring up? And that brings us to our second public forum on any items, agenda, or otherwise, from anyone from the public like to be heard. Yes, sir.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Just need your name and your address.
Oh, Chris Ostakis, 501 Woodland Avenue, Brielle, New Jersey.
Thank you.
I'm having some questions about the hiring of a hockey coach for this coming season. The season's going to begin in 3 months. I was wondering where we were at with that and if there was any candidate that you guys are looking at right now.
Dr. Cajun.
We are going to post for that position, finding out that we need a hockey coach. I was hoping that our current hockey coach would remain, but he's not. So we're going to post for that. I do not have any coaches in mind. And we will do like our due diligence, and we will get some candidates in, and then we will interview them, and like we always do. But that posting is going to go out this week.
This week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, because I did have his resignation letter, so I didn't think there was any question that he was going to be coming back.
Yeah, I tried. I love him, but he doesn't want to coach.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, that brings us to executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now therefore be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 1, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is a student matter. And number 8, personnel matters which involve hiring and resignations. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes in public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mrs. McGarry? Second. Mr. Serena? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Red folder?
Same room as last week.
A motion to reconvene from executive session. Mr. Catani, second. Mr. DePalma, all those in favor? Aye. Manasquan, item number 53, personnel. Do we have a motion to recommend approval of the additional July 18, 2017 elementary school personnel as per document L?
Yes.
Mr. Serena, second.
Yes.
Mrs. Muley, any questions on document L? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie.
Manasquan Senate District items, personnel number 54, recommend approval of the additional July 18, 2017 high school personnel as per document 6. Do we have a motion? Mr. Fury, second. Mr. Vitale, any questions on document 6? Sandy.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie.
And number 55, recommend approval to accept a foreign exchange student through the Exchange or Visitor Program, AFS-USA Inc., hosted at a Manasquan residence for the 2017-18 school year. have a motion. Mrs. Muley?
Second.
Mr. Vitale? Any questions? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Muley?
Second.
Mr. Serino? All those in favor?
Aye.
Good night.